Turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on out there up in space, mate?
There's always something going on. there's a lot there to go.
That's true.
I just want to make sure I've got the right story, but apparently a famous neutron star has just glitched in a huge way.
That's right. It has. It's glitched.
Is it just a case of sort of turning it off and turning it back on at the wall? Or?
No, it's slightly more power than that. So when a large star, say, two or three times or more bigger than the sun, when it ends its life, it has a bit of a connection and collapses down. So if you imagine our sun, which is nearly 1.5 million kilometers across, what we've got is something that sort of mass at the end of this big star's life, except it's shrunk down, it's collapsed down to something about the size of Auckland.
I can relate to that.
A pulsar, a neutron star, is extremely dense. It's so dense that the atoms have collapsed in on themselves. And it means it's spinning really fast. Okay, so our sun, it rotates about once every 30 days, which, you know, for something
it's
so big,
fast.
You'd imagine it might be about right.
It's a little bit lazy, though, I reckon. But,
But this particular pulsar, called the Vela pulsar, it rotates 11 times every second.
Okay, so it's had some kind of some gnarly impact at some point, hasn't it?
The size of Auckland rotating 11 times every second.
11 times every second, that's right. If you counted up how many times it spun for the sun rotates, it's about 29 million times.
Now, if I'm on that thing, would I feel it spinning?
You'd be flattened like a pancake.
How heavy is it? How dense is it? Like, if we're going to compare it to something.
Oh, something in the order of, you know, a teaspoon would weigh the same as an aircraft carrier, you know.
Okay. Oh, right. So gravity upgrade. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Centrifugal scenario.
So anyway, it's spinning really, really fast, but it spins very regularly. These neutron stars, they're called pulsars because the light they give off is like a lighthouse, you know, spinning around. As it spins around, the light flashes. Of course, that's how we know with the spin rate and so on. But they spin very regularly, and they can actually be used to calibrate nuclear clocks and so on. But they know that a certain proportion of them have these glitches, and this particular one they watched very carefully. By that I mean the data they collected from a radio telescope in Tasmania was 640 megabytes for every 10 seconds they watched for 19 hours a day for 4 years. So that's 3 petabytes of data. Okay,
what's a petabyte? A million gigabytes. Okay.
So out of all that data, remember it's rotating 11 times a second.
David, I'll just stop you, mate. You've lost me. What is a petabyte? Is that just the next one up?
It's a million gigabytes.
Okay, cool. But peta with a P?
PETA, yep.
Okay, carry on, mate. Sorry, I'm just a little bit of a silly dum-dum. John knows all these things, but I've just got to ask.
That's right. So this huge, massive amount of data, and out of that, they found that one of the beats was missed.
Okay.
And before that, the pulse was a bit weird, and after that, the pulses were a bit weird, and then it came right. What they're talking about is about a couple of dozen pulses, remembering that it pulses 11 times a second. Mm. And they were able to find this in this incredible amount of data. And what they think happens is that although you'd imagine something like this to be totally rigid, it's not. And it's like there's a very thin skin on the surface of this neutron star. And after a while, it actually slips. And this is what happened. They detected this, that the skin of the star slipping and catching and then getting rigid again.
Wow.
That is very bizarre.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hard to comprehend.
One thing, I found another story that I actually already had and I forgot to put on the list. Again, to do with pulsars, a lot of pulsars come in pairs with other stars. Mm-hmm. So a different one, it's a pulsar, it's spinning even faster than the Vela pulsar, in fact, But it has a partner, and that partner is a white dwarf star. A white dwarf star is what our sun will become when it ends its life.
Yes.
It will collapse down to about the size of the Earth. Now, it's not as dense as a neutron star, but it's still pretty dense. Well, these two stars, they're the distance of about the Earth to the Moon.
Okay,
so imagine our Earth is the sun at the end of its life. It shrunk down to the size of the Earth. And in fact, closer than the Moon is a pulsar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going around each other. Okay, they're a binary system.
Mm-hmm.
They're going around each other once every 38 minutes. If you remember, of course, that the Moon takes a month to go around
the
Earth.
So it's happening very quickly.
These are going around every 38 minutes, exactly.
That's crazy.
It's the fastest binary system like this that they've discovered. And so, in fact, the neutron star is sucking material off the white dwarf, off the white dwarf star, and it could well explode with the power of 115 megaton bombs over every square centimetre of its surface. Anyway, when that happens, we'll certainly notice it.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Now, China has sent a satellite to the far side. When you say far side, you mean it's returned to Earth in a fiery blaze, or...?
No, it's gone to the far side of the Moon.
Okay.
What they're doing later in the year, they're going to send a spacecraft called Chang'e 4, I think, to the far side of the Moon. They're going to attempt the first landing on the far side of the Moon. Okay, no one's ever landed on the far side. All the landings that have been done with people or without have been on the side that we can see from the Earth. Because remember, the same face of the Moon is towards the Earth.
Is that at all times?
It's tidally locked.
Yeah.
So if you want to send a spacecraft to the other side to communicate with it, you have to have a relay satellite to send the radio signals. Otherwise, it's just radio dead on the far side of the Moon.
Yeah.
So this one they've just sent is the communication satellite, which is going beyond the Moon to the point where the gravity of the Earth and the Moon balance. So it'll be sort of just hanging in space on the other side of the Moon.
Oh, awesome.
And that'll be the communication satellite, and they're getting that all set. And then the landing attempt will be sent later this year.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds like quite a feat.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese have really been quite inventive with some of the things. I mean, eventually they want to send people to the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
But they've already had a rover on the near side of the Moon, we can see. It was there.
Mm-hmm.
Still there, but it was working for quite a while. So they're gradually building up, and this is the next stage.
Fantastic. Now, what's the evening and morning night sky doing, David?
It's quite good. After sunset, you've got the Scorpion over in the east, sort of ready to spring into action, with Jupiter nearby. Over in the west, where the sun goes down, we've got Venus, which is pretty bright. So look out for that.
Did you just say a scorpion's about to spring into action?
It's going to spring up, but well, it actually chases Orion away. Orion's over in the west, and he doesn't like the scorpion. So
do you know that scorpion's actually a bit of a trigger word for John? It's one of his least favourite of all the animals to think about.
Oh, well, you can think of it as being a fish hook, if you like. We don't have any scorpions in New Zealand, so no, it's our story.
Thank goodness for that, David.
Is that any better?
Hey, somebody just wants to know, excuse me, why isn't the Moon rotating? That's Bob. Is that because of the gravitational buzz? Or?
Yeah, well, it is, but it's rotating at the same speed as its orbit.
Oh, so we do see the far side of the Moon from time to time?
No, we can't ever.
Okay, I'm really confused.
It's tidally locked, so it's spinning around at the same rate as it's orbiting, so therefore the face of the Moon we see is always towards the Earth.
Is a neutron star heavier than Slayer? A texter wants to know.
Heavier than what?
A metal band called Slayer.
Heavy metal band is, I suppose.
No is fine. I've got to ask these questions, mate. You know, I'm just trying to engage the listener. You know how it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, David, what's happening at the Stardome?
Stardome, we've got a couple of things. We've got the final screening of The Farthest, a movie that's on Thursday night.
Not about dads?
Sorry?
Not about dads, but about...
No, it's about the farthest object that we've sent out into space. It's the Voyager spacecraft.
I know that it comes highly, highly recommended. So if anyone wants to catch it, they should do.
Yeah, it's a really, really good movie, very inspirational. And you get a glass of wine or beer and some snacks if you're 18 years of age or over, so that might help as well. Mm-hmm. And we also have in June, beginning on the 1st of June on Friday, Matariki Dawn. So we're going to be playing that show through the whole of June, and we've got a new sequence in it about the Great Waka segment about Tamariti, which is really terrific. So if people can get along to Matariki Dawn, that'd be great.
Well, fantastic. Everyone out there, get along to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium. And can I say One Tree Hill? One Tree
yep.
Hill Domain? Okay.
Yeah, One Tree Hill, Royal Oak.
Okay, fantastic.
Thanks, David.
Catch you later.
We shall see you in a couple of weeks.
Look forward to it.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.